The decree says your ex pays the joint tax years. A judge signed it. And the notice sitting on your kitchen table has your name on it for the whole balance, not half.
Right. And that's not a mistake at the IRS. That's how the law is built.
Explain that, because people find it hard to believe.
When you signed a joint return, federal law, that's IRC 6013 D3, made each of you individually responsible for the entire liability. Not 50-50. The whole thing. Each of you. Then you divorced, and a state family court judge divided the debt between two people. But the federal assessment was never divided at all. The IRS wasn't a party to your divorce.
So the decree is just, what, a contract?
That's a fair way to hold it. It's a contract between you and your ex about who writes the check. If your ex breaks it, you have somewhere to go with that. But the IRS computers see two names on one account, and they collect from whoever is easier to reach.
Which usually means?
Current address, findable bank account, steady deposits. If you're a self-employed sole proprietor, that's often you. Your business checking, your client receivables, your refund. And unlike a wage earner, there's no employer sitting between the IRS and your income to slow anything down.
Okay, so what actually moves your name off the debt?
One form, Form 8857. It requests three different kinds of relief: innocent spouse relief, separation of liability, and equitable relief. Same form, three paths. And which one fits depends on how the debt came to exist.
Say more about that. How the debt came to exist.
This is the biggest fork in the whole thing. Was the tax understated, or was it just unpaid? Understated means the IRS added it later. An audit or a CP2000 underreporter match caught income that wasn't on the return. Unpaid means you both reported it correctly and never sent the money.
And that changes which door you go through.
Completely. Innocent spouse under 6015B and separation of liability under 6015C only touch understatements. A reported but unpaid balance qualifies only for equitable relief, 6015F.
And the deadlines aren't the same either, are they?
No. For innocent spouse and separation of liability, you have to file Form 8857 within 2 years of the IRS's first collection activity against you.
2 years from, wait, first collection activity. Define that, because I think people picture a levy.
A levy counts, yes. But so does a refund offset. So does a collection suit. And that's the trap. A refund quietly disappearing 3 years ago may have started the clock, and nobody felt it start.
So it may already be running.
It may already be running. Equitable relief has a longer window, generally as long as the 10-year collection statute is open. But penalties and interest are accruing on the joint balance every month, either way.
Let's do the escalation for a second. If somebody just sets the notices aside, what's the order?
Balance due bills first, going to each spouse's last known address, which for a lot of people is still the old marital home. So you can miss them entirely. Refund offsets alongside that. Then CP 504, intent to levy your state refund, and a federal tax lien becomes likely.
CP 504. And the lien attaches to what?
Property you kept in the divorce, including a house the decree awarded to you. Then LT 11, also issued as letter 1058. That's the final notice. 30-day clock. And it's when your collection due process rights are live. After that passes, bank levies. And for a sole proprietor, the IRS can send levies straight to your clients for what they owe you.
And the passport thing.
Once a balance is certified seriously delinquent, the article gives the 2026 threshold as $66,000. The State Department can deny or revoke a passport.
Notice what's not in that list, though.
There's no step where anybody reads your decree. There never is.
Okay, the article walks a worked example. And I want you to take it slow, because the numbers do the arguing.
Hypothetical. Self-employed sole proprietor. Decree assigned all joint tax debt to the ex. IRS is billing $76,400 across 2 joint years. You pull transcripts, and it sorts into three piles. $41,000 is tax the IRS added after a match caught contract income the ex never mentioned. That's an understatement. $24,000 is tax both people reported on the second year and never paid, driven partly by the taxpayer's own Schedule C profit. And $11,400 in penalties and interest.
41, 24, 11, 4. Got it.
Because they're divorced, separation of liability under 6015C can allocate that $41,000 understatement to the ex, since it flows from the ex's income, plus, in the example, roughly $7,000 of related penalties and interest. So, about $48,000 potentially off the name. Exposure goes from $76,400 to roughly $28,400.
And the 24?
Different animal. The share tied to your own business income stays yours under every theory. No form removes tax on money you earned.
Say that again, simply.
If you made the money, the tax on it is yours. Relief moves your ex's dollars, not yours. Any slice of the underpayment tied to the ex's income can be argued through equitable relief. And there the decree actually helps. Your ex's legal obligation to pay is a factor the IRS has to weigh.
And the difference in what life looks like at $28,400 versus $76,400?
Real. The failure to pay penalty runs 0.5% a month, about $142 a month on $28,400. But $28,400 is under the $50,000 streamlined line. So a 72-month online plan pencils out around $395 a month before interest. The full $76,400 sits above $50,000, which means full financial disclosure before any plan. And it's above that $66,000 passport threshold. Same debt. The difference is the allocation work, not the decree.
Two hard parts I want on the record before we close.
Go.
1. Filing 8857 doesn't stop everything.
Correct. It generally pauses most collection against you while the claim is pending. It does not stop refund offsets.
And 2, your ex finds out.
The IRS is required to notify your ex-spouse that you filed and let them participate. An ex with a motive to dispute your version often does. And if domestic abuse is part of your history, say so on the form. The IRS still contacts the other spouse, but doesn't share your address or personal information.
What about the family court side? Enforcing the decree, going after your ex for what you paid.
That's a real remedy, and it's the only form where the decree has teeth. It also sits outside what Clarity handles. That's a conversation for your own counsel. What we work is the federal side, transcripts, allocation, the 8857, and whatever balance stays yours.
So, next 24 hours, what are we asking for?
Two documents, side by side. The tax clause in your decree, which years were assigned to whom, and your most recent IRS notice, the years and the total balance. Write them down next to each other. Then gather the joint returns for those years, the full decree, every IRS letter, and try to pin down the date of the earliest collection action against you, because that's what the two-year window runs from.
And then a set of eyes on it.
Free case review, 888-825-7779, or the short form on the page. Someone maps which dollars can come off your name under 6015, and which ones need a payment strategy. Eligibility depends on your specific facts. Nobody can tell you the answer before the transcripts are read.
Right. Start with the transcripts.